What I've been doing for over 40 years now is actually collecting stories, because these stories are dying out. They're not being retold, not in the old way. Ireland has changed too much, and there's no point in being sentimental that you can bring them back. You can't. Ireland has become gentrified. The surest sign of that is that when people begin to put up monuments to this and monuments to that, they begin to put up by the roadside the names of townlands, the names of places. To me, that's a sure sign that we're getting precious about our culture. Now, in one way, it is great to see it, but in another way, it's a sure sign we've lost it. Because when you have to try to remind people of what their culture is, well, that says something. If we have to be reminded what it was and is, well, what does that say?
But it does beg the question, how important is it?
Well, it should be very important. But, for example, look, this is our supposed year of independence, the centenary of 1916. And yet, look around you at the politicians we have, fighting, arguing, snarling at each other. Look at the strikes. If Ireland was the supposed place of the declaration of the independence that we're supposed to have, wouldn't people be a little bit different? And they're not. Our stupid politicians are arguing about something like water charges instead of getting on with running the country, and yet the country seems to be running fine without them. I don't understand it. Where's the idealism? Where's the honesty? Where's the what those people in 1916 died for? I tell you, it makes me mad. It makes me very, very angry. Now, that's only something, by the way, the wider thing of culture. Well, that's it too. But the culture I'm interested in, and that you asked me about, the storytelling, the mythology, the whatever, I've been trying to do what one person can do about that, collecting the stories before the old people die, and most of them that knew these stories have died. Luckily, I've recorded as I went. I've thousands and thousands of hours of these on tape. But what can one person do?
Working on your own, you know, as you are, have been for these many years, and particularly in this age where, you know, we're in a digital age where information is shared so freely, how does a Shanachie help preserve that in a digital age?
I'm afraid I'm a little bit behind when it comes to the digital age. I've never got beyond... No, that's only me. Would you believe I've never sent a text message?
Go away.
Yes. I have never used my phone for anything other than just my mobile, for just sending, using it as a phone. I've never used the pictures, and I believe you can use it for taking photos and all the rest of it. I recently got a digital phone, which are a very good thing. I still prefer the old-style phones, or photo cameras and all the rest of it, where you take a photo, where you want to take a photo. But that should answer your question. I'm not much for the digital. I prefer to talk to people face-to-face, because there is no substitute for that, and that's what Shanachiacht was. It was talking to people.
What makes that so special? Because I'm thinking, when we're in this digital age, it's all written. We don't communicate, we don't tell stories in that way. We write in a different way than we talk.
Well, hasn't the country all the signs of it? Life has become cheap. It wouldn't be cheap if people talked to each other. There's a murder a day now in the country. That wouldn't happen if people knew each other. You couldn't possibly kill a person if you knew that person face to face, as a person. I remember, for example, John B. Caine's play The Field was based on the murder of Maurice Moore that happened in 1956, I think. Now, my father, I remember, took me to the place where that murder took place. And it was the talk of the countryside at the time, that murder of Mossy Moore, as they said. And it was literally the talk of the countryside. Nowadays, would a murder be the talk of anything? Big deal. It's It's a murder a day. Life has become cheap. So the country has changed out of all recognition. People don't go to each other's houses anymore. You'd almost be told, go home, we're watching television. There's EastEnders is on, or something important like that. Country has changed, people have changed, life has changed. I find, for example, that people, when I go to school, children will listen to the old stories. Of course they will. But they're surprised to hear them because they know very little about them. I was recently telling a story about a leprechaun in schools, and you know what they thought I was talking about? A leopard.
No.
Is that not strange in an Irish
in
context?
Ireland? Absolutely.
There's something wrong.
As we get older, you know, as we become adults, do we lose our sense of wonder in a way? Lose our sense of engaging with the world in the way that children do?
We do. There is no doubt about it. Most people do. Absolutely do. There is no question in my mind we do. And it's a pity because if people have only, we'll say, money, wealth, in a surface sense like money to look forward to, you have very, very little indeed. Yesterday, I was talking to my aunt. She's 96 and she has her health. She's the last of all our relatives to be alive. And she's still very healthy, a jolly woman, at 96. And it's a pleasure to meet her, because she can tell me about our family. She remembers, as a very young girl, when the Black and Tans came into the house looking for my grandfather. He was the secretary of the local volunteers, and he had to run for it. They saw their truck coming. And he had to run for it, and he escaped. But she was sick at the time as a little girl, and they turned her out of the bed. But luckily, there was an officer in charge who was a kind man and said, let the child alone, she's sick. Now, there was my grandmother telling me that yesterday, as an old woman of 96. Now, that's what I call history.
It's remarkable, it's remarkable.
It is remarkable. Absolutely. To be able to hear that about your own family, about your own grandfather. But if I hadn't called to talk to her, to take the time to talk to her yesterday, maybe in a year's time, she might be dead. Maybe I'd be dead. But it's people like that I like to talk to in their 80s and 90s, record them before their stories are gone.
And then you relay them and you pass them on to future generations.
I do. Yeah. Either in book form or in told form. And people delighted to hear those.
Obviously, you're having the storytelling session on Saturday afternoon. When you give these sessions, how do people react after you've told your stories? What are their impressions?
Very often to tell me stories about their relations, their families, what has maybe happened to them. If I tell maybe fairy stories, you'd be surprised. People don't laugh at fairy stories once they have heard the kind of fairy stories I would be able to tell them. And remember now, the Irish fairy stories aren't the Walt Disney version of fairies. They can be very violent stories sometimes about people who have interfered with fairy places and have not come off very well from the encounters. And the old people know about these and know very well about them and can tell me stories in return for what I've told them. And sometimes when their children are present, they will find they've never heard these stories at all from their grandparents. And they'll be surprised. And it sometimes then gets them talking to their grandparents, which is a great thing to see.
On the stories, what would be an example of a violent fairy story then?
Well, we'll say where somebody dug up a fairy fort, where somebody cut down a fairy bush, where somebody built a house on a fairy path and had no luck in that house, or maybe had to abandon that house, which is a very, very dear expedient. If you build a new house and then everything starts going wrong in that house, including maybe somebody, you might get fair warning first, and then when you do nothing about it, serious things start going wrong. Perhaps somebody dies, or, you know, that's not funny. They're not the cutie little fairies of the children's fairy door sort of variety. That's serious stuff.
They're darker than the Grimm's fairy tales.
Yes.
Mm.
But the old people know about that. They might not tell their grandchildren about it because they don't want to frighten them, but that's the kind of stories that I have been hearing. And the book, my book, Meeting the Other Crowd, who the stories there I've collected from the old people, that book describes those kind of, it includes those kind of stories. In fact, it's completely of those kind of stories.
In your travels, in this 40 years of collecting these stories, Eddie, what do you think you've learned about the older generations of Irish people that isn't really understood today?
They had respect. They had respect for the land. And that's not there anymore since the big machinery came in. Because, you see, a person above in a big machine can sweep away things that were there since the dawn of time. And then when they're questioned about it, we'll say by the authorities, well, these things may be protected by law, but laws are no good without respect. The old people, they wouldn't touch these things. We'll say dolmens, forts, fairy bushes, other things like that. The guys who are coming in today, they're just hired men. And above on a big machine, by the time, we'll say, the guards or archaeologists come in, everything is levelled, and then these guys are gone. And then when you go to the farmer, or we'll say the landowner, because most farmers are pretty good, they wouldn't do that, but we'll say a landowner who has bought land and just comes in and says, I'm making a big range of land out of this to bring in cattle or whatever, you question him, I knew nothing about this. But of course he did, because it's all on the map. And you're not allowed to do this, but by then the damage is done. What can you do? Reconstruct these? No, you never can. So big machinery is a curse. It's handy, but it's a curse for these kind of things.
You know, you were talking about how, you know, people come up to you after the storytelling sessions and they share their stories with you. Is it a way in which, through the Chanakis, we kind of realise what, in a way, we've known all along, but we kind of ignore now?
Yes. Yes.
In a way, it's a way to reconnect to something that is in our ancestral DNA.
Well, you see, nowadays people are so busy. Busy, busy, busy. And yet they're busy doing nothing. Chasing their tails, I often call it. In the end of all, there's only very, very few things valuable or important in life. And people nowadays are so busy, they're making themselves ill. Look, how many television programs do you turn on nowadays? And what are they talking about? Sickness. How many members of the family are sick and they're suffering from this and stress and nerves and diseases of this kind? It would make you depressed to even watch this. There's something wrong. We have one of the highest suicide rates in Europe. Why? We should begin to question a little bit more deeply, I think. We've forgotten something. We have forgotten something. I won't suggest remedies, let other people do that, but I think I know one of the reasons why. And I think you do too.